We'll open your Bibles tonight to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. It's on page 975 in my Bible, if that helps any of you. I have, by the way, a parallel Bible, New King James Version, and Amplified. I like it a lot, but there's a lot of versions nowadays that I like. The Passion Version is quite amazing. But Psalm 95 says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." Just flip over a page or two to Psalm 100. "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations." I want to key in on making a joyful shout. We need to be joyful each and every day of our life. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about the joy of the Lord. It is your strength. Matter of fact, let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. It says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, that really is so. Because when you see somebody that's down and out and depressed, they're not joyful, and they're robbed of their strength. They have no strength. But God has so designed it so that when you get the joy of the Lord bubbling up inside of you, it literally gives you strength. You'll walk taller, you'll carry yourself, your shoulders higher, and you'll begin to proclaim things that will just come out of your spirit, man, and you'll speak the goodness of God. You'll speak God's word, which is going to affect your life for the positive. Don't be grieved, the Amplified says, and depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't be grieved and depressed. That means you have a say in it, doesn't it? You can choose to be depressed, or you can choose to get your mind stayed on the Word of God and get out of that depression, drive that thing right out of there. You see, joy is what gives you the strength to hold steady when circumstances get rough. It's the joy of the Lord that's going to come in, and it's like a cement that comes around your faith and your patience. Faith and patience work together, but the joy is what's going to help hold you there as well. It's a real spiritual force. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit that is inside of our spirit, and the way we operate it is to by activating it and drawing it out. You have to stir yourself up. If you need somebody to help you, then ask them to help you. But Paul says, "I stir myself up." You know, I think it's over in Acts chapter 16. He had gotten thrown into prison, and not just into prison, but the deepest part of prison. And he's in stockades and chains. And yet he was able somehow to muster up some joy. And he and Silas began to sing and sing praises. Well, you've got to have, see, that's a spiritual force. Our own flesh and carnality can't do that. We want to have a pity party. I mean, just think of it. In our downest days, we're not in shackles, but he was, and he was stirring up that joy. Joy, if you're taking notes, write this down. Joy gives you the ability to laugh in the devil's face when he tries to knock you off your faith. Joy gives you the ability to laugh in the devil's face. You know, when you laugh in the devil's face, it makes his head go tilt because he's trying to, you know, put something on you or get you to go a certain way and afflict you and cause harm and whatnot. And when you can laugh at him, he's like, "Well, why isn't it working?" It messes with him. You know, when he starts, and it comes through thoughts, when he starts speaking to me, I start speaking back, and I remind him of his lakefront property. You know, don't you know? Because he knows he's headed for that lakefront property, the lake of fire. He's headed there, and he knows it. And so when you remind him, it shuts him up. He goes. He doesn't want to listen to you talking to him because he says, uh-oh, they know what the word says. He's looking for somebody weak and to prey on. If you're strong in your faith, he's no threat to you. He's no threat to the believer who knows the word of God and knows how to speak it in a millisecond of time. And I say this, that first words out of your mouth are critical words. When the going gets tough, what are you saying? Are you speaking the circumstance? Are you speaking about this molehill and making it into a mountain and then a mountain range? The more you talk about your problem, the bigger it gets. The more you talk about the word of God and speak the word of God, your mountain dissipates. Because now God is bigger in the circumstance because he is bigger. And your circumstances will just begin to roll right off your back. And they don't seem like, your problems don't seem very big anymore when you keep the word of God coming out of your mouth. So it's critical that you do that. When you're speaking the word of God, we're talking about joy, you will become joyful. Because the word of God is powerful. It's energizing. Matter of fact, that says that over in Hebrews 4. Let's just quickly look at that. I love that scripture and how the Amplified brings it out. You see, Barbara and Steve Arbo are here tonight, and she's an Amplified girl. It says, for the word that God speaks. You see, that's the same word you need to speak. If it's worthy of God speaking it, it's worthy of you speaking it. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power. How many of y'all need power to get that mountain moved out of your life? Well, God's word is that power. It says making it active, making it operative, energizing and effective. I love that. I can know and be confident that the word of God is effective in my circumstance. Now, when the circumstance comes, when the trial comes, you know, James says, count it all joy. But that's just silly. That goes against our natural mind. We don't want to count it joy. We want to count it for what it is. It's no fun. It's a trial. That's hard. That's coming against me. It might be persecution. But he says, count it joy. And then he goes on to talk about how our faith has to work patience, and patience has its perfect work. Well, the joy of the Lord is going to be one of those spiritual forces that helps you to laugh in the devil's faith, but it's going to help you to stay in faith. It keeps you in faith. And when you're in faith, the devil can't do a thing. He can't do a thing. He's already lost. We just sang about the victory that Jesus purchased. And whatever circumstance you're going through today, tonight, I want you to know you've already got the victory. We don't go to God asking him to give us the victory. We stand in a position of victory. That's where we start from. When I pray about a situation, something that's dogging me, I take the position that I've already won. And now I have to enforce that victory by the word of God. And God's word can't return to him void. He says it won't. He says he watches over his word to make sure it comes to pass. And so you can count on that. He says in Job 22 and 28, if you decree a thing, you declare a thing, it will be established. Well, Ricky, you know what concrete, when concrete's set up, it's established. You're not moving that thing. And so same thing, when you get into faith with the word of God and you establish that you have the victory, then the devil can't talk you out of it. Nobody else can talk you out of it. That's why I there's many ways, talking about healing for an example, there's many ways God has provided for healing, but I believe the best one is where you take the word of God yourself and you meditate on it and you get it into your heart to where nobody, not even the devil himself, can talk you out of that. And that healing will manifest because it's got that power in it. It's energized. It's effective. It's like that Energizer bunny that just doesn't stop. Well, you don't ever want to stop in faith. We are called to walk by faith and not by sight. We're called to live by faith. So how often do we live? all the time. So we live by faith all the time. So even the small situations that come up, put your faith on them. If you're not sure how to handle that, look in the Word of God and find scriptures that cover your situation. And, you know, my wife and I throw it out all the time. If you can't find a scripture, you call us. We'll help find some scriptures. We do it all the time. And we'll get on the computer and write up 6 or 8 of them, and we'll give them to you. And say, here, meditate on these. Get these to where you know them, frontwards and backwards. Get them in the good ground of your heart, and they're going to manifest and give you the victory in that area. Amen? You know, if the enemies come at you in some situation with fear, well, then find scriptures that deal with fear. God's not given us a spirit of fear. So if God's not giving it to you, what do you want to hold on to that thing for? You don't. He's given us spirit of wisdom. He's given us power of love and a sound mind. And so we want to put God's word on the situation. Joy works with your faith and patience. It is a staying power. It's a staying power. And listen, isn't it better to be joyful than to be sad? Then we ought to spend more time stirring ourselves up to joy than to let circumstances bring us down to sadness and remorse. And you know, that's why I caution people to watching too much of the news. There's not a whole lot of good stuff on there. There really isn't. And so anyway, we want to be mindful of putting God's word on our situation. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 10. Most of you know this. Again, just give this little bit of wisdom. Let's look at the word tonight as though this is the first time we've seen the scripture, and let the Holy Spirit speak to us. In Ephesians 6 and verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Well, we've just established that the joy of the Lord is your strength. So be strong in the joy of the Lord and in the power of his might. The joy is the power. Turn up the power. Turn up the joy. Again, it's easy to be a Christian when everything's going good. We're talking about when the heat gets turned up. We're talking about when the times get tough, when the situations get big and hairy and scary, when things get to the point where you might shed some tears. But you've got to just pull yourself up by the bootstraps and say, come hell or high water, we're going to stand on the Word of God. We're going to be strong in the Word of God. We're going to be strong in the joy of the Lord, and we're going to activate it. We're going to activate it. I understand you don't want to. I don't want to. Sometimes my flesh wants to slap somebody, but I can't do that. I have to stir up the joy and say, Lord, I don't know how to work this thing out. I don't know what to say to make it right, but I tell you what, I know you know. And so I have to trust in the Holy Spirit to do his job. Because, you know, we're not called to do his job. We're not equipped to do his job. We're called to believe him and stand on the word and believe and release our faith. And God has given us joy. He's deposited that in our spirit to help us be strong. And we all need to be strong each and every day. In 2 Corinthians 10, anybody getting anything here tonight? You're going to leave here and you're going to be joyful. You're going to be mindful of being joyful. All right, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, yep, that's where we're living, you know, in the flesh. We live in two realms. We live in the physical realm, but we also live and have authority in the spirit realm. And that's what's going to move the physical realm in your life. So he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So he goes on and says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. I would submit to you that the joy of the Lord can bring down strongholds. When you stand in the joy of the Lord, the devil's going to flee. When the devil flees, there goes the stronghold. He can't stay there. He can't stay and bask in the joy of the Lord like you can. He's not equipped to. He can't stand it. The Bible says for you to submit unto God, resist the devil. When you're stirring up the joy of the Lord, you're resisting the devil. Because he's got no joy in him. He's got darkness in him. There's no truth in him. So when you stand and stir up the joy of the Lord, he has to leave. When he leaves, the strongholds go. Come on. So in back up one chapter to 2 Corinthians 8. Interesting story here. We're going to start in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. Man, there's a whole lot right there. There's an abundance of joy stirring up in them. They're in deep poverty. Deep poverty doesn't sound like a place where people would be joyful. But here's what happened. They got the word of the Lord, and they believed before they got out of their poverty. They believed their way out of their poverty. They had the joy of the Lord abounding in them, and it says that the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. In other words, they wanted to do far more than they could even do. They had the desire in here. You see, the things of God start inside of us before they affect our physical realm. And so these people got the word of the Lord. And let's just go on and see what happens here. Paul's writing this. He says, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. See, they were cheerful givers. They determined they were going to be cheerful givers even when they didn't have much to give. But what did we just read when we received the offering? That God said he would give seed to the sower, didn't he? What else did he say? He said he'd multiply seed sown. So right there, you can give your way into prosperity. These people did. I just love this whole chapter. As a matter of fact, 2 Corinthians 9 comes after chapter 8. 9 is because of what he had just got done showing us how it already worked. He gave us the example of how it worked, and then he encourages us to do it. Now you sow cheerfully. Don't do it grudgingly. So he goes on to say, I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, begging us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship. See, these guys were tied in to the fellowship of the Lord. They were tied into the church. It says, and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord. There's number one. They gave themselves over to the Lord. But then look at it. Says, then they gave themselves to us by the will of God. They submitted unto God and then their pastors. And look what happens here. So we urge Titus that as he had begun it, because I believe that he began the work here, and so Paul was giving it back to Titus to take this gift. He says, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, it's going to have to be in faith. They had to give in faith. Man, they were in deep poverty, they weren't just broke, they were deep broke. So in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, we talked a few weeks ago about being diligent and how you've got to take the word of God and truly apply it to your life with diligence. You can't just, show up to church once a week or a couple times a month and never open your Bible and think God's word is going to work for you. He says, he goes on to say, see that you abound in this grace also. Well, what grace is he talking about here? He's talking about the grace of giving. See, God wants us to be like him. And he's the greatest giver that ever was. And he wants us to learn to be givers like he is. All right, Paul writes now in verse 8, I speak not by commandment. So he's not commanding them, but I'm testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. So really, he's saying here, the sincerity of your love is going to show what's in your heart and the willingness of you to give. And that's what these people did. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago. Underline that in your Bible, a year ago. It's 1 year's time that they went from in deep poverty. Now let's see what happened. Verse 11, but now you must also complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance. So from verse 2 to verse 14, they went from deep poverty to having an abundance. Isn't that cool? And it started in the joyfulness in their heart. That's what I wanted to key in on tonight. They had the joy of the Lord in their heart, and they were begging for the urgency to be able to give to help these Christians that were in need. And God took what they were in deep poverty, but what little they did sow, he multiplied and he multiplied. And in 1 year's time, these people went from deep poverty to abundance in their life. And he goes on to say, but by an equality that now at this time, your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance may also supply your lack, that there might be equality. Drop down to verse 20. Or 19. How about 18? And we have sent with him, well, let's just start in 16 and make sure that it all makes sense to you. But thanks be to God who puts, verse 16, the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted the exhortation, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord. And we have sent with him, with Titus, the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not only that, but who was also chosen by the churches to travel with us with this gift, which is administered by us to the glory of the Lord himself and to show your ready mind, avoiding this, that anyone should blame us in this lavish gift. In 1 year's time, these people that were in deep poverty, you go to the deepest poverty on the planet Earth today, and you give them the Word of God, and they get a hold of it, and they act on it, they can be in abundance. This bunch of people was in 1 year's time. And it was such a lavish gift. Look, they wanted to make sure nobody could even accuse them of, you know, misspending, you know, the 10 cents they sent with them. No, it was a lavish gift, and so they sent three people to watch over it, because it's going to be tougher for anybody to pilfer if there's three of them guarding it rather than just one. Because I checked the map and I saw how far they had to go. It was like over 1,000 miles they had to go with this gift. It wasn't just across town. It was a long journey. It took them months to get there. And so, but what I wanted you to see was way back at the beginning, the joy in their hearts to do the Word of God, to be a doer of the word. And so their joy caused an overflowing and lavish gift to be manifest in their lives in 1 year's time. I tell you, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord will get you, will help your faith to stay strong, stay established, so that you can see it all the way through to the manifestation of whatever it is you're believing for. Now, this here, we were talking about a financial thing. It might be in your life a physical need, but you stick with it. In the face of the devil, in the face of the doctor's report, you can laugh and say, no, by the stripes that Jesus bore, I am healed. Not going to be healed. I'm already healed. Devil, you're a liar. You are not, you know, enforcing anything on me. The word of God already has been spoken. And just like Jesus addressed Satan himself in Luke chapter 4, when he was brought out into the desert, into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, he came back at the devil each and every time with, it is written, it is written, it is written. That's why it's important you know what's written. Because when the devil comes knocking on your door, what are you going to tell him? Are you going to invite him in? Oh, bad doctor's report? Oh, yeah, put it on Facebook. Tell everybody about it. Oh, I'm dying. The doctor says I'm dying. You want it? Look, if you're a believer that comes to this church, you want to shut your mouth. I got to get me that duct tape. I've invented Christian duct tape. So when you can't stop saying the wrong thing, we'll just put that right across your mouth. Because if you say nothing, remember we saw on Sunday where Jesus was talking about, take no thought saying. You get into trouble when you take the thought. See, we're supposed to cast down the thought. You take the thought and you start speaking it. You own it, baby. And now you've got it out there and you're responsible for it. God's not responsible to watch over the words you speak foolishly. He doesn't have anything to say over that. He is bound by his word to watch over his word. When you speak his word, you get his results. Come on, that's real good there. Okay, Psalm 35. Is anybody here that's got financial situations? I mean, who can't use more? I mean, my goodness, my vision's so big, I could use 100 times more than what I have now, and that still wouldn't be enough. But look what God has put in his word. Verse 27, Psalm 35. I quote this every single day. I quote this every single day. I don't just quote it, but I believe it. I speak it. And then I get excited and I shout for joy, just like it tells me. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Now let's stop right there. If you don't favor God's righteous cause, then this isn't going to work for you. But when you favor the righteous cause of God, what's the righteous cause of God? He wants to see everybody come into salvation. He doesn't want one person to perish. He doesn't want one person to stay sick. He doesn't want anybody to stay in poverty. Look, we have the kingdom inside of us. When we walk into a room or into a country, we carry the kingdom. We carry the answers. We've got to know the word of God. We've got to know what we're carrying. We're carrying power. And the more joyful you can be, the more you're going to, your mind is going to agree with what's been put in your spirit. And listen, you listen to the news, you're not going to be singing joyful. You're going to be listening to that junk. But anyway, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Let them say it continually. So say it over and over. Let the Lord be magnified. Father, we magnify you tonight. You take pleasure in the prosperity of your servant. Well, Father, I want you to be pleased. I want you to be pleased. I agree with you. And I agree with your favor, your righteous cause, your right way of doing things. So in other words, when I come across somebody in the world that's unlovely, I'm still supposed to love them. You can tell I'm getting excited. I'm not supposed to judge them. I'm supposed to love them. I'm supposed to bring to them the word of God. I'm supposed to bring to them the joy of the Lord. And if we're living that way, the world is going to ask us. You don't even have to open your mouth first. They're going to say, what are you so happy about? They do, yeah. Takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of all your praises all the day long. See, our tongue should be speaking. Our tongue should be speaking of his righteousness. Amen? All right, 1 Thessalonians. A few more scriptures here. Can you stand a couple more? It's all good. It's all good. You can take it to the bank. You can take it to the doctor's office. You can take it to the lawyer's office. I tell you what, the word of God is final authority in this planet, coming out of a believer's mouth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice how often? Always. Rejoice always. That literally means to turn around, to get excited. That's what it means. Rejoice means get excited. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you and for me. Glory to God. Psalm 27. Let's go back to Psalm. Psalm 27, verse 6. Now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. That's good. Your head is lifted up above your enemies. That means you're above your enemies. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. We hear a lot about the sacrifices of praise, but really these are the sacrifices of praise that are joyful. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. What's a sacrifice of joy? That's when you don't feel like being joyful. It's a sacrifice. You don't feel like it, but you make yourself do it. You know, you wake up in the morning and you don't necessarily feel saved. You feel sleepy, but you're still saved. So sometimes we got to stir those things up. That's why when you get up in the morning, when you begin to proclaim things of God, the Word of God, that's why we have little postcards. You know, my wife decorates our house with little 3x5 cards. It's got scriptures on them. I go to get the Wheaties out of the cupboard, and there's a scripture. I have to read. I can't just take the box, and I always stop and read it. And she's got, I bet you, she's got 10 of them on one cabinet there. It's like, so I'll stand there, and I'll read them all. It works. It works. When you leave that house, something's different than if you hadn't stopped to read the Word of God. See, and I didn't necessarily sit down and open my Bible. My Bible's all over. I go in the living room, and there's a mirror there and a table, whatnot. And on the mirror, she's got scriptures. We've just got them everywhere. In the office, we got scriptures. We got scriptures for everything. Just about everything that we encounter. And so it's important that we keep the Word of God first in our life. That's going to help. See, that's the joy of the Lord coming up, because you cannot speak the Word of God and not get joyful. You don't start crying when you're proclaiming God's goodness. No, you get joyful. Come on. Even in the midst of your enemies, in your trial, offer to God sacrifices of joy. You know, I usually just start out and say, God, I have no clue how this is going to work out, but I know it's going to work out for my benefit. I trust you. That's what trusting God is. I don't know. I don't get it, but I know he does. So you can just, we've got situations that are always coming at us and whatnot. And my wife said to me this morning, she says, well, we need this one to just not let us get fearful. I said, I'm not. I said, I was listening to the Word all morning. I said, I get the peace of God. Matter of fact, here's how you can gauge whether or not you're in faith and not in fear. It's two things. If you've got peace in your life, and if you've got joy in your life. If you've got peace and joy going on, then you're in faith. You can't be all anxious and be joyful. It's the opposite. So when the joy is operating, you know that you're in faith. Joy is a spiritual force to help keep you in faith. Why is it important to stay in faith? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. We have to live by faith every minute of every day. That's what pleases God. That's when he looks down and says, that's my boy, that's my girl. They believe my word. They trust me. They trust my word more than the circumstance. They trust my word more than the doctor's report. They trust my word more than what the checkbook balance says. You liked that one, didn't you, Connie? The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We're almost done here. Psalm 105. A lot of joy scriptures in Psalms. Oh, yes. We're just looking at a few of them here tonight. I like this one here in verse 42. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. Verse 43. He brought out his people with joy. He brought out his people with joy. You know, Bible says that when his people came out, there wasn't even a shoestring busted. There was not a feeble one. You know, you see the pictures of the people coming out and they got the lame and the crippled. That wasn't so. That's not scriptural. They were all strong. They were all healthy. Their sandals didn't even wear out. Come on. God is a good God. He's a good God. He will bring you out of whatever situation you're in with joy and gladness. He brought them out. He'll bring you out. You got to expect it. You got to believe for it. Remember this in closing. Joy is an essential part of a life of victory. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet? We'll close in prayer. Father, I done preach myself joyful and happy. I thank you. I thank you that your word works. I couldn't preach this without getting joyful. Father, I pray that these your people here tonight and under the sound of my voice would receive the word that's been spoken tonight as your word, as it is. Receive it into the good ground of their heart, Father, where it's going to begin to grow up. It's going to begin to produce. And it's going to produce good works in their life. And it's going to bring glory to your name. So, Father, we're grateful for it. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you all. Thank you for coming out. If I don't see some of you before next Tuesday, Merry Christmas. And remember to share the true message of Jesus Christ coming into the earth. Amen.